We'll now go to Lyme disease. Jessica Talani and James Christie will appear before council to request council endorse the petition from Bob Bailey, MPP, Sarnia Lambton, requesting that the Ontario government do everything necessary to create public awareness of Lyme disease in Canada.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Thank you for allowing us to speak today. My name is James Christie. I actually have a video. My presentation is done by video, so we'll start with the presentation now.
Very good. Thank you. Could we have the video, please?
My name is James Christie. I live in Newmarket, Ontario. This video concerns the Lyme disease petition started by Corunna, Ontario resident and Lyme sufferer Christine Heffer to be read at Queen's Park in the fall of 2011 by Sarnia Lambton MPP Bob Bailey. This petition has already been endorsed by municipalities representing over 2.5 million Ontarians, an amazing accomplishment. After having two unnecessary surgeries, including a hysterectomy, Christine Heffer ended up diagnosing herself with Lyme disease. Myself, I contracted Lyme while in Lawrence, Massachusetts in 1989. I went misdiagnosed for 19 years. Starting in May of 2011, I cycled 1,828.8 kilometers around Ontario, raising Lyme disease awareness and interviewing Ontarians with Lyme disease. Treatment in hospitals and by doctors numerous times. I was told I had multiple sclerosis, lupus, autoimmune disease, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, and irritable bowel syndrome. I was even told that I had a faulty heart valve, and if I didn't have open heart surgery, I may only have 4 months to live. The Ministry of Health has known for years that Lyme is endemic in many areas of Ontario. It knows that current testing is faulty and that reporting rates for Lyme are grossly underestimated. The ministry is well aware that misdiagnosis, unnecessary procedures and surgeries are costing millions annually. In 2008, we had two Lyme literate doctors. By 2010, we had one. Since March of 2011, the last one is under investigation and now we have none. In Ontario, it's a crime to treat patients for Lyme. Not surprisingly, Dr. Maureen McShane, a Lyme literate doctor practicing out of Plattsburgh, New York, stated on CBC Radio in September that her Canadian Lyme disease patient load has over doubled this year alone. In 2010, the Ministry of Health spent $300,000 setting up a website and putting out a dismal 12,500 flyers into LCBO stores. In contrast, in 30 days, Cycle for Lyme put out over 8,000 flyers for under $320 directly into the hands of Ontarians. Despite being discovered 35 years ago, Canada is already a third world country when it comes to Lyme awareness, education, and treatment. I cannot begin to describe the debilitating pain and fatigue that I have endured for over 20 years. The permanent neurological damage I now have should have never occurred. When I finally confronted my doctor about having Lyme, he didn't have a clue about the basics of this disease. Too many children are ending up with a chronic version of this disease. Lyme is curable using a $48 course of antibiotics if diagnosed and treated within 4 months. That doctors are not trained to understand this is simply incomprehensible. I know of two women that have had unnecessary hysterectomies. I even met a woman who was given the same heart valve replacement that I refused. When the surgery didn't help, she was treated for Lyme and recovered. This disease causes the destruction of marriages, families, and even the loss of friends. It financially destroys. Year after year, we hear how our healthcare system is overloaded with chronically ill Ontarians. Is it really any wonder why, when Lyme disease alone is being so grossly mismanaged? After 22 years, it is plainly evident that our healthcare system knowingly ignores Lyme rather than deal with its complexities because our current healthcare strategy is based on quick fix treatment. In the end, we are not being healed, we are simply being medicated. The Ministry of Health knows that bringing proper Lyme guidelines into the system is going to take a major overhaul to implement well beyond the status quo. Turning a blind eye and denying Lyme is the easiest solution. Christine Heffer's petition starts with the will of the people. By endorsing the petition, the public gets counted and the provincial government is forced to stop denying Ontarians proper medical care. And frankly, as infected ticks continue to spread across Ontario at an alarming rate, our very health depends on it. Thank you. And please, become aware.
That's a very impressive film.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to add any comments? Otherwise, I have two speakers.
No, if Jessica goes next, yeah.
Okay. Councillor Sato? Oh, they want you want to make a presentation?
Just two of us for the same.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning. I would like to thank Your Worship, Mayor Hazel McCallion, and the Mississauga Council members for the opportunity to speak today about Lyme and associated diseases and the devastating effects this is having on families, not only in Ontario, but all across Canada. Firstly, I would like to say thank you and God bless you, Mayor Hazel, because you are such an inspiration to women. And it was a woman by the name of Christine Heffer who inspired me to find my voice, to help me change the landscape of how Lyme disease is treated and diagnosed in Ontario. Secondly, today, I'm here to ask that the Mississauga Council endorse Bob Bailey's petition. Sorry. Which is the people's petition on Lyme disease. We have already in excess of 60 municipalities endorsing Lyme disease petition. This represents over 3 million people. We have several MPPs and MPs ready to lend their voice and their support. By the end of this presentation, we hope to achieve a hurricane of positive change. In Canada, while all provinces are at risk, Ontario has the greatest risk potential of Lyme disease outbreak, with southeastern Ontario already in an endemic phase. Furthermore, endemic states that have highest cases of Lyme happen to share a border with Ontario. Lyme disease is spreading 7 times faster than AIDS and West Nile put together, with Canadian officials claiming to have only 50 to 100 cases a year, and yet the CDC estimates over 400,000 new cases just south of our border. Personally, I have encountered 40 to 50 people who either have Lyme or have known of a close friend or relative who has Lyme disease. Many of these people in our communities quietly struggle with daily life, becoming completely disabled, committing suicide, or have perished a terrible death. That feeling of wanting to end it all is sadly too common. Some symptoms can be full body pain, short-term memory loss, and muscle and joint pain. Often friends and family do not understand, and the medical system refuses to treat when it is curable. With as little as $50 worth of antibiotics, this disease can be stopped if recognized and treated early. We are at a tipping point, as documented by Malcolm Gladwell's book, entitled The Tipping Point, How Little Things Can Make a Big Difference. In 1996, cases of syphilis were up 500% in Baltimore. What happened and why? Zennelman's explanation was that due to budgetary problems, the medical personnel went from 17 to 10, and the number of physicians went from 3 to 0. This is happening to Lyme disease. It was easier to receive treatment for Lyme disease 20 to 30 years ago than it is today. Today, our doctors are not trained to make a clinical diagnosis, and they rely on faulty testing for diagnosis. If they do treat beyond the outdated IDSA guidelines, the College of Physicians threatens to take away their license. A few years ago, there were a few doctors treating Lyme disease. Last year, one doctor. Today, zero doctors. We can put blame on the tipping point on climate change, migrating birds, lack of education to the public, and our doctors. Many in this room may already know of someone who has been affected by Lyme disease, and if not, it may not be long before you do. We do need to act now. Lyme disease is an infectious bacterial disease that comes from the bite of an infected bug, usually a tick, which carries the bacterium Borrelia burgdorferi. It can be fatal, often accompanied by other co-infections such as babesiosis, Bartonella, onychomycosis, rickettsia, Rocky Mountain spotted fever. The Canadian Lyme Disease Foundation receives thousands of calls yearly from people throughout this country who believe they have Lyme disease. Recently, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Kareem Kurji from York Region spoke at York Region Council and acknowledged that our concerns are valid and that there are issues with testing and the true number of cases is unknown. Every student in York Region will be receiving Lyme awareness information soon. I realize that you as a council cannot fix all these things, but you can band together to put pressure on the Minister of Health, Dalton McGuinty, local MPPs, and the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care. We are at the tipping point where important decisions made today can change the course of events that will affect the health of your residents. Your council can encourage the Minister of Health to work with the victims groups and other experts like the Canadian Lyme Disease Foundation, who have been raising funds for that specific purpose and who have not only scientific expertise on their board, but also science advisors from several different countries to co-fund the necessary research. The minister needs to establish better testing methods and, most importantly, to request that the Minister of Health engage in funding human pathology research to determine the prevalence of Lyme disease in their region. Furthermore, he needs to allow funding for both the education of our doctors on treatment of Lyme disease, both in the acute and chronic phase, and also for tick surveillance and protection for our doctors should they treat beyond the outdated IDSA guidelines. We need our own local clinics that specialize in vector-borne illness so that Ontario residents are not forced to use their life savings and go south of the border for treatment. This is what my family experiences for the last 2 years. I want to thank you, Your Worship, and the committee for your time and consideration to do everything in your power to protect the residents of this community. The little things you do today can make a big difference. I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. That's quite impressive. Councillor Sato.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you both for being here. First, I'm going to move that council, I think we should be endorsing this petition. I think it is very timely. This year in particular in southern Ontario, the tick population has been extremely high as a result, I guess, of the... I thought they liked warm weather, and then I was educated that they really like the colder weather.
Yeah.
But friends of mine that are down around the Lake Ontario shoreline and around Erie have been reporting that they're actually worse than usual this year. And I travel with my dog competing, and I am extremely careful because I use preventative on her, and I use spray on her, especially when we're in New York or in the Northeast. And, I don't have anything for me. But in many cases, I do have friends who have developed Lyme disease in the U.S., and the ticks were transmitted from their animals that were in the shrubbery, and they got on the dog, and of course many of us allow the dogs to sleep on the bed with us, which may not be a good thing, but then they get on the person, and it can be a devastating disease to animals and to people, as you have pointed out. And I've done a lot of research on it and knowing how to remove them. I haven't had to yet, but I have a special little tool for removing. So if I ever needed to, I would be able to do it, I hope. But, there's not very much education out there unless you are, as I am, involved in with animals, where you start educating yourself with that and learning that, how devastating it can be and lethal to humans as well. And the deer tick population is increasing. It's increasing in southern Ontario. It's mainly in the U.S., but we are bordering the states where it is most endemic. And as we have seen with West Nile, the animals that the birds, the animals that carry the disease, they move around. They don't just stay in one location. So we are certainly not immune to it becoming extremely endemic in southern Ontario. I was, it's interesting because I was reading the Ministry of Health's website on Lyme disease, and they say that they use the testing that is used in Ontario is the testing that is approved by Public Health Canada and also by the CDC in the United States. Now, I think as part of your presentation, you had you'd said that the testing that is used, you don't feel is sufficient. And in fact, on their website, they actually advise people not to go to private clinics in the U.S. because that testing has not been approved, I guess. So I wonder if you could just clarify that, because I think Mr. Bailey's, MPP Bailey's petition is also asking that the province not only cover, which I fully agree with, that the testing should be covered by OHIP, by the insurance, but also that the province recognize other testing procedures. So could you just clarify that a little bit so that we know what we're supporting?
The testing in Ontario is a two-tier system.
Right.
The first one is the ELISA, and the second is Western blot. In order to get the Western blot test, you have to first pass the ELISA test. The ELISA test is basically only good for about the first 4 months after infection. So in my case, I mean, I was misdiagnosed for 19 years. I was infected in 1989. In 2008, when I found out that I had Lyme disease, I went to the first doctor I went to, said, okay, I'll give you the test for it. Gave me the test for it. It takes 4 to 6 weeks to get it back. He calls me back to his office and says, Mr. Christie, really good news, you don't have Lyme disease. So I said to him, well, you do, of course, realize that the test you gave me is only valid for the first 4 months from initial infection. I came home in July of 1989 with a bullseye rash on the inside of my left leg. It was 19 years ago. The test is invalid. And he said, no, that's not correct. And he said, this is a definitive test. And I said, you don't understand. So I was escorted to the door. I went to another doctor. I went to the same thing. Another doctor, the same thing. The doctors aren't aware that the ELISA test is useless. It's useless. Define the first 4 months.
Right.
Another problem is that it's a very narrow band. If you have one species of one type of Lyme, it may not pick it up.
Right.
It's such a narrow band, and that's the premise. So you can't get Western blot. You know, they say the lab that I was tested in the U.S. is an accredited lab by Canadian standards. Well, none of them are. I live in Newmarket. There's seven people in Newmarket with Lyme disease. Not one of us fits the criteria. We all have Lyme disease. We're all being treated for Lyme disease, and we're getting better. And I think that's the issue.
Now, are you approaching the mayor? Oh, I'm sorry. The mayor wanted to say something.
I have to leave. I'm on a panel in CUTA on transit. So I'd ask the acting mayor to take over. And thank you for your presentation.
Thank you very much.
It's information that I certainly am not aware of. And I think that's what you're doing, is acquainting people with the problem. And I certainly support us endorsing your regulation. And
thank you very much.
Do something about it at Queen's Park, right?
Yes.
Are you also, because I agree with you that many of the doctors and even some of the veterinarians in Ontario are not as familiar with Lyme disease and tend not to test for it on animals as well. I know I've had some discussions with my own vet about how they handle it. But it would seem to me that what is needed to be done, as well as asking the province to increase the testing, the available testing, and to pay for it, to fund it, because I would imagine it's probably a fairly expensive test. Most of those additional tests, you know, can be. But are you also petitioning and trying to educate the Canadian Medical Association, because getting them on side, I think, is key. I know when, you know, in the animal world, you always try to get the Canadian Veterinary Association to take a stand on something and to be the lobbying group for change in that particular medical field. So what is the Canadian Medical Association doing? I know it's mentioned here stating that it is endemic throughout Canada, but have they come out a lot stronger than just saying that?
No, not really. I mean, it's a situation now where Lyme is basically being denied. If you test a negative under ELISA, they say you don't have Lyme disease.
Right.
If you test positive under ELISA, basically what you're told is, oh, no, that's a false positive. So it doesn't matter what you do. You're a rock in a hard place. If you test negative, you don't have it. If you test positive, you still don't have it because it's a faulty test.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're asking a question that you would have to address that to them because they don't answer questions from the public. Seriously, they don't answer questions from the public.
Yeah, well, no, I can understand that.
There is a difference also between the education of the young doctors in New York versus the young doctors here. In my clinic, it's not a health clinic, it's an aesthetics clinic. I see many different people, and one of the young medical doctors from New York, I asked her, I said, what are they teaching you in New York on Lyme disease? She said, we have to rule it out. There's so much Lyme in New York, we have to rule it out. Up here, our doctors are taught it doesn't exist, they don't think it crosses the border yet, and they get in trouble for treating it. We have had doctors who would treat it. Most who know about it are afraid. They get in trouble for treating beyond the outdated guidelines. They are not educated enough. They can't treat. They don't know how to diagnose with confidence. So even if you go in with a bullseye rash, this happened to one of my clients recently. Her son was bit last year, had a bullseye rash. The pediatrician sent the child home and said, that's an allergy. He'll be okay. Now, if the child was treated immediately, it's all education on a public level and a professional level. If the child was treated right away, a month's worth of antibiotics without, don't even get the blood test done because you test too early, the antibodies are not there yet. So you test, you treat based on what is presenting. And that child would have needed 1 month of antibiotics. Now it is recommended, because he is positive for Lyme through a U.S. lab test, that he gets treatment for 1 year. And this is the reality. Most Lyme patients, including my daughter, I've had two children exposed. The first one I caught, I saw the tick, but I still had to fight for 2 months. And the story of my family is in this briefing here. I had to fight for 2 months to get a doctor to agree to give him antibiotics. But once he had antibiotics, the fever stops, the rash stopped, he got better. My daughter was older. I didn't bathe her. I missed the rash. I did not see the tick. Not everyone will get a rash or see the tick. But I suspected Lyme disease. I fought for 3 months. Nobody would listen. Turned away at every door. They wanted to diagnose her with fibromyalgia, a depression, all kinds of other things. And I said, what about Lyme disease? Well, you had the Lyme disease test. It came back negative, which is the ELISA. Doctors don't know, but apparently if they request for the Western blot, they can, but they don't know that they can bypass the ELISA. This is new. But if the doctors are not informed, they're not going to know that they have the option of bypassing it. Our Canadian Western blot tests for one strand. The U.S. Western blot tests for a couple of strands. Problem is, you can get more than just Borrelia, which is the Lyme disease. My daughter has babesiosis. That's also spreading widely in northeastern states, and it's coming across the border. It's much harder to treat because you don't get just one infection. Quite often you get a stew of bugs all at once, and it's very difficult to eradicate them. My daughter is much better than she was a year ago. She could hardly walk up a flight of stairs. She's been home this past week, but she did have 3 really good months. She even joined the cheerleading team. So it is an up and down thing. It waxes and wanes. You have to stay on top of it, including good diet, supporting the immune system. But she has been on as many as 5-6 antibiotics at a time.
Thank you. And it is an absolutely devastating disease, infection, whatever you want. It is a disease created, and it's just going to get worse. The risks are increasing, and just over the last 5 years, as I said, I do travel to the dog shows. Many times you're on a farm, and I really stay away from the high shrubbery and everything else and use the spray and the topical treatment on the dog, and I spray myself, but I know there really isn't anything that there's really not much of a preventative against ticks for people. If they're going to come on, they're going to come on. And, you know, it is worrisome, but I think the education and coming here, I really appreciate you coming here, because it's an educational process that we think in Mississauga that we're, you know, immune to all of this. And by and large, we don't have a problem right here in Mississauga. But at some point, we might have. You know, we're not that far from farm country. We have a lot of wooded areas, and you know, we're not that far. We do travel. People that go to cottages, and et cetera, are at risk. So I really appreciate you coming here. And my motion, Councillor Mahoney, is that council endorse the request, the petition of MPP Bob Bailey, and that we support more education as well. I would even add that, that council endorse more education to our citizens on the risk of Lyme disease. And I would also ask that this be sent up to the Region of Peel and that our Medical Officer of Health be asked to comment on it as well. And thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck to your daughter.
Councillor Starr.
Councillor Starr has indicated he's going to second that motion.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here today. I'd be happy to second that. I'm familiar with the McNaughta family, by the way, and I knew when Gabe had the disease from the very beginning. They didn't know it was the disease. You know, he had the flu, he was sick, he couldn't go to work. And McNaughta, by the way, that's McNaughta Wines, mm-hmm. In case you don't know. And they had the wherewithal and the resources to find what the problem was, and they didn't find it for, I think it was like 12 or 14 months when they finally thought.
4 years in total.
How long?
4 years.
4 years?
To get a proper diagnosis.
Well, I just wonder, when they started to think it was Lyme, I think it was like 14 or 16 months. But anyway, it was a long time. It was very arduous for the family. And I think they've also set up a foundation now. I attended a fundraiser for the family, or for the cause, actually. And I think there has to be more education. Anybody who goes any place into the woods, the north, the south, you can bring it home. And you know, I've come home with I'm an outdoors person. I've come home with ticks, and sometimes from the U.S., sometimes from Canada. And you know, and I've done the same thing for years. Shake the clothing when I get home. And yes, you know, I've found that there are ticks either on my body or in the clothing. And so it can travel anywhere now. I mean, that's the sad or the very dangerous part, I guess. It's just, you know, it can come from the U.S. It can come, you know, almost virtually any place in the world. And that's the transportability of a disease like this. And if it isn't diagnosed properly, so I'm so glad you're here today and at least give us a little bit of information. I wish we were more positive because of the testing abilities of, I guess, the labs and whatever, and even the diagnosis by the doctors. It's so incomplete. I mean, to me, that's very, very sad. And I've read about that before, and now you reinforce this, so you were going to...
Yeah, so there was the City of Timmins did a presentation. They endorsed our petition a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually online. You can go online and you can see it. And one of the councillors actually was down to Toronto the week prior, and he was at the Toronto Public Health Lab, and he actually said that they're actually urgently working on improving the testing right now. They're not admitting it publicly. This was the first I'd ever heard of it. But just to know that, you know, this sort of thing is going on in the background, and frankly, I do believe it's a big part of it's got to do with Christine Heffer's petition and what we're doing here today.
Well, I'm so glad that, you know, keep up the good work, because I think it's education, it's awareness. People maybe think that I don't go fishing, or I don't go canoeing, or I don't do other things, and it's not going to happen to me. You know, one time I could be you know, with my next door neighbor gardening, whatever, he comes over with his special tools that he's had for a while, and it falls out of the gloves or the wood you transport for firewood and that sort of thing. So I just think there has to be a lot of awareness, and I'm glad you've added that clause, by the way, about making a lot more awareness. So we're very, you know, very much behind you. I mean, I've seen that personally with, like I say, a very good acquaintance, and I saw how the family suffered for those years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Carlson.
Thanks very much, Madam Acting Mayor. Of course, everything that's been said today I agree with, and I just want to thank you. I know the personal inspiration, but the actual practical part of going across Ontario, trying to get the government and the medical profession just to do the right thing, it's something of a bizarre story, and this is a business that we hear a lot of strange stories in a week. So the fact that you're up against a medical establishment that appears not to even recognize, I find it so hard to believe that this is a big challenge, and obviously there's technology available. It seems there's something I'm not perhaps getting about this story, but I certainly thank you very much for being here, and on behalf of how many Ontarians you might be saving their lives over the next decade or two. I'm very, very grateful, and I certainly hope the medical establishment and the government of Ontario, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you point up behind the scenes there, they're doing things that perhaps that's a good sign, but I'm hopeful that you're very, very successful with this, and thanks to the MPP for bringing it forward and to making us all aware of it. You know, we're encouraging people to get out and be more outdoors. We're encouraging naturalization of our parks and so on. We don't want people to be fearful of the, you know, the natural areas near their homes. And I know with climate change and all the other infestations of West Nile virus and emerald ash borer and so on, it's the kind of thing we just need to be able to tackle. So good luck with the project. Sounds like you're on your way to success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I'd like to add my congratulations to the very strong and worthwhile efforts that the two of you, obviously you're traveling the province, making awareness at municipalities at the municipal level across the province, and so important, and I know it's your personal time, and you obviously, I mean, there are medical issues that you have to deal with, whether personally or within the family, so this is, you're very dedicated and doing it. A good job of what you're doing. Thank you for being with us. I do have the resolution. I will, Councillor Fonseca, once Councillor Fonseca, once the list is complete, I do have the resolution. I will take that vote while you're still here in the chamber today. Councillor Fonseca.
Thank you. And just very quickly, yes, thank you so much for being here and making us aware. And I just wanted to comment. I'm not sure if I sit on TRCA, the Toronto Region and Conservation Authority, and I don't know if you have done presentations to the various conservation authorities, but I think it would be well worthwhile from an educational standpoint. I think what you've said is extremely important. And there's we've got Toronto Conservation, Credit Valley, Halton. There's a variety there that I think getting this information out and doing your presentation, which was wonderful, by the way, is a great way to also educate and make other councillors and also people that, as Councillor Carlson and Councillor Sato were pointing out, we're already out there trying to encourage people to be out and active. So if you could bring your presentation to those, I'd be happy to do whatever I can to get it to the TRCA. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll read the motion that the Council of the Corporation of the City of Mississauga endorse the petition from Bob Bailey, MPP, Sarnia Lambton, requesting that the Ministry of Health direct the Ontario Public Health System and OHIP to include all currently available and scientifically verified tests for acute and chronic Lyme diagnosis, to do everything necessary to create public awareness of Lyme disease in Ontario, and to have internationally developed diagnostic and successful treatment protocols available to patients and physicians, and that the Region of Peel Council be asked to support this endorsement, that the Peel Health be requested to further educate our citizens on the risk of Lyme disease. And that has been moved by Councillor Pat Sato and seconded by Councillor Ron Starr. All those in favour? That is carried. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. And best wishes on your journey.
You
will succeed. We'll move on to judicial inquiry. Ursula Cooper-Bennett wishes to appear with respect to the judicial inquiry. Welcome, Ursula.